The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
How many steps did you take today? What was your resting heart rate while you slept? Did you hit your calorie goal? We ask ourselves these questions every day. But what if the real question is, who else is asking? And what are they willing to pay for the answers?
That's the question that's been on my mind, Mark. I'm Rachel, and for years, I've resisted getting a fitness tracker. Not because I don't see the benefits, but because I can't shake this feeling of vulnerability. We're willingly strapping a data collection device to our bodies 24/7, and we just trust it.
And I'm Mark. And unlike you, Rachel, I'm completely bought in. I've been tracking my runs, my sleep, my everything for the better part of a decade. It feels like a part of me. But lately, I started to wonder what that data trail really looks like. It's my sweat, my effort, but is it really my data anymore?
That's what we're here to find out. Welcome to the Invisible Sweat, where today we are pulling back the curtain on the fitness tracking industry and its dark, unsettling connection to the criminal underworld.
We're not just talking about leaked email addresses. We're talking about the most intimate data imaginable. Your location patterns, your health vulnerabilities, even when you're home alone. All packaged and sold to the highest bidder on the dark web.
Later in the show, we'll be speaking with cybersecurity experts who hunt these data brokers. And in a conversation you will not want to miss, we'll hear the chilling story of a victim whose fitness data was used to stalk and terrorize them. It's a side of this industry you've never heard before.
So, take a look at that device on your wrist. It's tracking your every move. The question is, for who?
Let's get into it.
So, to really understand how this data ends up in the wrong hands, we have to look at where it goes first. And it's not always some shadowy hacker in a basement.
You mean through the terms and conditions that nobody reads?
That's part of it, for sure. But it's more systemic. Think about corporate wellness programs. Back in, 2014? Jawbone launched a system called Up for Groups. The whole pitch was that employers could get aggregated data from their employees' trackers.
Aggregated. That's the word they always use, isn't it? It's meant to sound safe. Anonymous.
Right. The idea is they can't see your specific heart rate, just the general fitness level of the sales department versus the engineering department.
But how aggregated is it, really? If you're the only person in your department who didn't take the stairs because you have a heart condition, suddenly that anonymous data point isn't so anonymous anymore.
And that's the risk. It gets even more direct. A year before that, a company called Body Media was developing disposable trackers, specifically for insurance providers.
Wait, disposable? As in, they send it to you, you wear it for a week, and they get a complete health snapshot to decide your premium? That feels dystopian.
That was the concept. A one-time, deep-dive physical. And it opens up this huge, unregulated frontier, which I know you've thought a lot about, especially when it comes to apps that track more than just steps.
Oh yeah, the menstrual and fertility tracking apps. It's a whole other level of vulnerability. Millions of women are inputting the most sensitive health information imaginable, thinking it's protected, like a medical record.
But it isn't.
It isn't. There are no universal regulations for this stuff. No HIPAA equivalent for app data. So you sign up, and buried in the terms of service is usually some version of an at-your-own-risk clause. It's a get-out-of-jail-free card for the company if, or more likely when, that data gets leaked.
So the very data that could be used to, say, deny you insurance coverage or employment in the future is protected by little more than a pinky promise.
And a warning that it's on you if something goes wrong. And it's not just about leaks. It's about how that data is used intentionally. It can lead to hyper-targeted, sometimes predatory advertising. Or even just inaccurate predictions in your own cycle because the algorithm is being fed all this other data. It undermines the very purpose of the app.
And that's the thing, right? That idea of undermining the purpose. It's not just about getting inaccurate predictions. Think about what that hyper-targeted advertising actually is. It means the system is making inferences about your body that you might not have even made yourself.
So, it's not just that you searched for prenatal vitamins. the app could infer a potential pregnancy or even a miscarriage based on your cycle data, and then serve you ads based on that incredibly private, emotional event.
Without a doubt, it's automated. There's no human compassion filter. It's just an algorithm that says, this data pattern correlates with this life event, and that life event has a market value. It's a system that monetizes vulnerability.
That is deeply unsettling. To think you could be grieving, and the first place that gets confirmed is by the ads showing up in your social media feed. It's a violation you wouldn't even know how to report.
And that's the so-called legitimate side of this. That's the business model a lot of these companies are built on. But it creates this byproduct, this massive, centralized honeypot of the most sensitive data imaginable.
A honeypot that's protected by what? A password you also use for your pizza delivery app?
Exactly. And that's where the conversation shifts. We're not talking about advertisers anymore. We're talking about what that data is worth to someone with truly malicious intent.
Okay, so walk me through that. What does that look like? I think most people hear data breach and they think, oh great, I have to change my email password. But this is different.
It's profoundly different. This isn't about identity theft in the traditional sense. This is about physical world vulnerability. Let's take location data, which almost every fitness app collects. It's not just your current location. It's your history.
My running route?
Your running route? The time you leave for work every morning? The time you get home? When you go on vacation? Now, combine that with your sleep data.
Oh, wow. So a criminal doesn't just know where I live. They know the exact hours the house is empty. And they know the exact hours I'm home and unconscious.
It's a blueprint for a burglary. Or worse, think about the stalking case we're going to discuss later. The data becomes a tool for terror. It tells someone your habits, your safe spaces, your routines. And it gives them the power to disrupt all of it, to make you feel like you're never truly alone or safe.
It's like handing someone a key to your life, not just your house. And we're doing it for the sake of tracking our steps.
It is. It's the perfect analogy. And the terrifying thing is, there's a whole marketplace for those keys. It's not just one opportunistic criminal targeting one person. It's an entire automated supply chain.
A supply chain? You make it sound like they're selling car parts. What does that even mean in this context? You can go online and just buy someone's routine?
In a way, yes. On dark web forums, you don't just see massive raw data dumps from a breach. You see curated lists. Sellers will package the data to make it more user-friendly for a criminal.
User-friendly. That's a chilling choice of words. So what's in one of these packages?
Think of it as a profile. It might have a unique user ID from a breached fitness app, linked to a name and an email. But then it's cross-referenced with other data. It'll include the person's calculated home and work locations, their most frequent travel routes, and critically, their sleep schedule, averaged over several months.
So, it's not just raw data points. It's a summary.
Precisely. It's intelligence. And the price for a single detailed profile can be laughably low. Sometimes, just a few dollars in cryptocurrency.
That? I don't know what to say to that. The intimate details of my life, the pattern of my sleep, the route I take to feel safe and get exercise, is worth less than a sandwich to someone?
The value comes from the scale. They sell thousands of them. But you're right. The individual valuation is dehumanizing. And it's not just about knowing when a house is empty. That's just one application.
What else is there? I mean, once you get past burglary and stalking, what's the next level?
Blackmail. And it gets incredibly specific. Let's move away from location for a second and just look at biometric data.
Okay.
Your device tracks your heart rate 24/7. It knows your resting rate. It knows your average rate during exercise. But it also knows when it spikes unexpectedly. Now, what happens when a criminal overlays that heart rate data with your location data?
They can see what? When you're stressed? When you're scared?
Or when you're aroused? Or when you're somewhere you're not supposed to be, meeting someone you're not supposed to be meeting. They can see a heart rate spike that correlates with a GPS pin at a motel, or at an address that isn't your home or your office. That pattern tells a story.
And it's a story you'd pay to keep quiet. My God, it's weaponizing your body's own involuntary reactions. against you.
It's the ultimate insider threat, and it can be even more subtle. Imagine your data shows a sudden, prolonged period of elevated resting heart rate and poor sleep quality, combined with several visits to a cardiology clinic. An affair is one thing, but an undisclosed heart condition? That could be leveraged to get someone fired, or to manipulate stock prices if the target is a high-level executive.
The trust is just completely shattered. You buy this thing to take control of your health, to understand your body. And that very pursuit of self-knowledge is what creates a weapon that can be used to dismantle your life.
It is. And that word you used, betrayal, I think that's the core of it. Because the whole promise of this technology is empowerment. Knowledge is power, right? Know your body, know your health, improve your life. But we've just spent this whole time uncovering how that same knowledge becomes a weapon. It's a complete inversion of the promise.
And it leaves me wondering, is it worth it? I mean, I came into this as a skeptic, and now I'm genuinely unnerved. We've laid out this entire ecosystem, from corporate wellness programs to dark web marketplaces. Is the benefit of knowing my sleep score worth the risk of someone else knowing my every vulnerability?
See, that's the question I'm wrestling with. Because even after all this, I don't think I'm ready to take my tracker off. And that's a strange thing to admit. It feels like a part of me, and the data is useful to me. But my relationship with it has fundamentally changed. I no longer see it as a neutral tool.
So what is it then? If it's not a neutral tool, what have you strapped to your wrist?
It's a liability. It's a calculated risk. Before, I just accepted the terms and conditions. Now, I feel like I'm signing a contract every single morning I put it on. A contract that says, I accept that the convenience I get from this device comes at the cost of my privacy, and potentially, my safety. And I'm not sure everyone who wears one has really, truly considered that trade-off.
I think you're right. I don't think they have. My final thought is a little different. I'm less focused on the individual choice, and more on the systemic failure. We shouldn't have to make that choice. This level of intimate data shouldn't be governed by the same rules as our social media likes. It needs its own category of protection, legally and ethically. The fact that it doesn't is the real scandal here.
So, for you, the problem isn't the device. It's the lack of a leash on the industry that makes it.
Precisely. We're being sold a health product, but we're being treated as a data product. And until that changes, every user is exposed. So I guess the only question left is, what do we tell people to do?
I don't think there's an easy answer. But maybe it starts with asking different questions. Not just, how many steps did I take? But, what permissions have I given this app? Where is this company based? What's their privacy policy? And have I actually read it? Treat the data with the same sensitivity your body generates it with.
Be an active participant in your own surveillance. That's a bleak but necessary takeaway. It's been a lot to process, Mark.
It really has. Thank you for going down this rabbit hole with me, Rachel.
Always. This has been The Invisible Sweat. The next time you check your wrist, remember you're not the only one watching. Stay conscious.